Hi everyone, Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to Top of the Morning on the UBS Market Moves podcast channel. For today, we are going to spend some time on the hedge fund landscape as we are roughly at the midpoint of 2026, reflecting on performance year to date, but also spending some time providing you with a bit of a performance outlook through the balance of the year. Joining me here today at the 1285 podcast studio in New York, glad to have with me at the table, Dan Scansaroli, head of the UBS Global Investment Management Multi-Asset Solutions Team and co-head of Investment Management Americas. Across from me, Sean Sanborn, Hedge Fund Strategist Americas with UBS CIO Investment Management. So, gentlemen, great to be with you both. Thank you for dropping by, spending some time today with our listeners and clients. Welcome back.
Thrilled to join you.
So, Sean, to begin, can you set the stage a bit for our listeners? How have hedge funds performed throughout the first half of 2026? And what strategies have outperformed and underperformed CIO's expectations?
So I would say 2026 can be characterized by two halves, broken up by the onset of the U.S.-Iran military conflict in early March. At the beginning of the year, managers were largely ramping up risk until the crisis, where we observed movements towards growthier risk-on exposures. Then the military conflict roiled markets, managers de-risked, and moved towards kind of more defensive stances. I would say, though, unlike during other periods of macro shocks, where managers typically broadly de-risk their books across the board, managers instead took down or cut lower conviction positions, increased hedging activity, and held on to core themes. This allowed managers to participate to a larger extent than usual in the ensuing post-shock market rally in the second quarter. The conflict also created new themes, such as new shorts negatively impacted by disruptions to global supply chains and newer, wider macro and micro RV dislocations. So through June, strategy-level hedge fund performance has ranged from 4 to 10%, while volatility has ranged from slightly above about a half to a third of the volatility of global equities. Performance has been led by more directional strategies, such as fundamental long-short specialists, quant equity, and distressed credit. But still, pockets of uncorrelated strategies like systematic macro and convertible arbitrage have performed well, properly catching short-lived dislocations and volatility shocks in certain markets while riding trends in others. Finally, I would just say, similar to the last few years, alpha or risk-adjusted returns have been broadly positive, with prime brokerage providers quoting the best first half of alpha on record for long, short, and event-driven managers, along with modest positive alpha on credit, macro, and relative value. While 2025 was characterized by strong short alpha, we were seeing strong total alpha coming from manager long books. And then finally, just this year has also come with elevated return dispersion, but this has been driven by higher upside gains from the top quartile, while underperformance has been relatively contained from the bottom quartile.
Well, very helpful, Sean, to have that performance backdrop to set the stage. From what you've picked up on over the first half of 2026, how has risk and even capital deployment evolved over the period? And what would you say are some common themes observed in hedge fund books at the moment?
As I previously mentioned earlier, we saw managers coming into the year broadly deploying capital, then they cut risk in early March, and then re-risked as markets rallied back. From a strategy perspective, we saw long-short managers continuing to hold total risk near their all-time highs by the end of June, but this is largely due to elevated short book activity, with kind of call it overall directional or net exposure closer to long-term medians. In addition, when beta-adjusting exposures, managers continue to hold more defensive stance and inequality bias as well. There's still kind of heightened exposure to the AI theme, in particular around hardware and power, but managers have been continually trimming this over the past few months, and while crowding risks do still remain, we have seen a broadening out of the AI theme, as well as a continued rotation out of the U.S. and large caps into Europe, Asia, and SMID caps. Within event-driven, we've seen continued risk deployment into larger M&A deals and deals with higher probabilities of closing. Active restructuring activity has allowed credit managers to build positions with attractive carry and equity optionality, even as index-level spreads sit at historic tights, and higher levels of equity dispersion have benefited activist managers, where new campaign activity, is on pace for its highest level in over two decades. Moving to macro quickly, we've seen risk remain on the lower end kind of throughout the year, but we've seen managers pivoting from net long rates to net short, with additional steepener and payer positions in the U.S. and Europe, outright shorts and Japanese rates in the yen, tactical positions within energy, structural longs in gold, and moving from net short to net long the U.S. dollar. Within relative value, we've seen convertible arbitrage miners take advantage of the strong opportunity set we've seen given elevated equity volatility, a broadening out of issuers coming to that market, and very strong overall issuance, which is up close to 100% year over year. Finally, within fixed income relative value, there's been opportunities across U.S. Treasury cash futures basis trades, yield curve relative value, European core versus European peripheral trades, cross-currency basis, and swap spreads. So just in summary, we're still seeing managers gearing towards more of an alpha orientation and fading kind of broader beta and duration.
Well, very helpful to hear about those evolutions and themes. So thank you, Sean, for that. Dan Scansarelli, to welcome you into the conversation. How has allocator interest been in hedge funds this year, both within UBS as well as externally?
Yeah, well, coming off the back of a strong fundraising year in 2025, where net inflows exceeded over $70 billion in the hedge fund industry, interest and allocations are still trending upward as people look to take equity risk off the table and rotate into other asset classes like hedge funds that can offer diversification, adaptability during those regime changes that we're continually seeing, and higher alpha potential in the current market environment. Institutional surveys across banks point to continued positive flows to the asset class. Recently, when we looked at surveys from Bank of America, from BNP, from Goldman Sachs, and our own UBS Family Office survey, it's been pointing to a range of 50 to 70% respondents planning on increasing their hedge fund investments, the highest of any asset class surveyed. So hedge funds, in short, are really appealing and appear to be quite robust across institutions, family offices, and wealth management platforms. On the institutional side specifically, strategies with the most interest this year have been long short specialists and generalists, quant equity, discretionary macro, and multi-manager pod shops. Shifting over to UBS Wealth Management's business, we continue to see hedge funds playing a key part in our clients' portfolio, and it is a key message and focus to our clients to consider adding hedge funds for diversification, you know, being placed in both defensive and growth portfolios to improve risk-adjusted returns. We have also experienced substantial flows into tax-optimized strategies that have aided clients to lower their tax liabilities elsewhere in their portfolio while gaining exposures to a diversified set of differentiated alpha drivers that you can't pick up in traditional long-only strategies.
Given that robust, widespread investor interest thus far in 2026, you mentioned both individuals as well as institutional investors, heading into the remainder of 2026, as we're recording today on Thursday, July 23rd, Dan, what strategy is the CIO like in this current environment?
Well, to get to that, we have to look at the current market scenario. And while core PCE came in fairly attractive at 2.6%, it's not at the 2% Fed target. And, you know, energy prices and geopolitical uncertainty continues to prevail. Inflationary risks have clearly risen, even with the potential deflationary impact of AI and softening of demand brought on by expected rate hikes that are being priced into the market. Companies will need to restructure debt now, unfortunately, at higher rates. And with the higher level of uncertainty across monetary policies and the geopolitical landscape, with the war in Iran, the continued war in Ukraine, and other conflicts arising, we would expect a higher floor with continued volatility and higher dispersion in the market, which should in turn continue to create better alpha opportunity set, specifically for hedge funds. So even as CIO Research expects equities to rise from here, and our target for a year, 12 months from now, is 10% higher, it's not expected to be a straight path, where that the trajectory has become much murkier. Investors will need to seek, and we're recommending, uncorrelated assets like hedge funds in order to add portfolio stability, enhance return potential, especially during choppy markets. The macro shocks tend to create increased asset correlation in traditional investments and fluctuating risk premia, of which active managers, specifically in the hedge fund space, are best positioned to exploit. And we've seen this from the hedge funds in terms of their dynamic risk-taking over the past 3 months, as Sean mentioned. Additionally, even though we've seen the opportunity for hedge funds are broadly attractive, there are still certain strategies which we find most compelling in the macro context which are strategies that typically tilt away from beta, away from duration, and will have the best ability to capitalize on any short-lived dislocations that we see from policy or geopolitical uncertainty, given the sustained narrow rally that we've seen in the equity market and the higher levels of macro and geopolitical uncertainty. Some of those strategies that are top of mind are low net, long short, equity, market neutral strategies, which should benefit from our expected view of elevated residual volatility and higher equity dispersion. We also like merger arbitrage because given there's clean and attractive deal spreads, there's a healthy pipeline, there's improving regulatory environment, and there's better financing of those deals as we've come out of the 2022 crisis and we've seen rates, even though they remained elevated, they have come down quite substantially. Discretionary macro is also attractive given their ability to be a very core diversifier in a portfolio. A more fluid geopolitical and geoeconomic environment is creating attractive opportunities for them to capture divergences in monetary policy across global banks. Fixed income relative value is also a place that we think has a place in a portfolio given its diversification against traditional fixed income drivers and how shifting inflation expectations and supply-demand imbalances are deferring liquidity needs from different market participants and should create yield recurring technical dislocations. And finally, on the multi-strategy side, we find these strategies to be the first place in which, if you don't hold hedge funds, we recommend that you're putting them into your portfolio because of their ability to dynamically allocate to the most attractive opportunities across that set that I mentioned before, given their broad exposure to all of the different types of risk premiums that alpha hedge funds have to offer. But whenever we're putting these portfolios together, it's around looking at your risk appetite, looking at your goal for growth versus income versus diversification, and how that ultimately fits with the rest of your investment strategy, and having a different weight to macro versus relative value, event long short, event driven and long short equities, you know, depending on those objectives. And you should work with your financial advisor to balance them out relative to exactly what you're trying to achieve.
To your point, Dan, a wide range of positioning and risk considerations. So to emphasize, really important that our clients listening in do have an informed conversation with your financial advisor to determine if these strategies are suitable for your circumstance. So any final thoughts, takeaways, or anything you would like to reinforce to our listening audience today?
Yeah, you know, to that last point, an allocation of hedge funds bears additional risks that investors need to consider. That includes illiquidity, key man risk, leverage, lower transparency. But we do believe that these risks are outweighed by the absolute and relative risk-adjusted returns that hedge funds can offer, especially in this current environment of heightened uncertainty, elevated dispersion, rising rates, and the high debt burdens that Dan mentioned earlier. So while CIO Research believes the path for beta and duration is still poised for positive returns, we still think that this current environment supports the need to diversify into a lower correlated asset like hedge funds to add more resilience to your portfolio.
Well, with that, Sean Sanborn, Dan Scansaroli, very informative, productive checkpoint midway through 2026. Look forward to having additional conversations with you both to keep our listeners, our clients informed on what's taking place across the hedge fund landscape. So thank you both again for joining us today on Top of the Morning.
Thank you, Dan.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights, at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
Investing in an alternative investment fund is speculative and involves significant risks. For a discussion on these risks, please visit ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer-NTA.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/workingwithus. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investor investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.